Today is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. And these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will be no benediction this evening. The 2018 liturgical calendars are available in the vestibule for a $10 donation. Please place your donation in the tray below the calendars. Those who would like to volunteer to mow the landscape on the south and the east areas may come this Friday, August 25th, after Mass. The flyers promoting the open house are available. That's what they look like here. Father Kachira printed these out especially for you, so you can pass them out to your friends and neighbors. And these were meant to be handed out on the day of the open house, so they don't have the time on them. So you can write it on there if you'd like. That's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. There are some big feasts this week. Like, for instance, today is the feast of Saint Bernard, great saint. His statue's in our shrine. You might want to pay him a little visit. We won't mention all of the saints, but we will mention Tuesday, which is a feast of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That should be a special day for all of us because of everything that we owe her heart. Remember, she is our co-redemptrix. So everything that you and I have received came through her heart. Every single grace that we've received and that we will ever receive comes from her, our co-redemptrix. So what debt of gratitude do we owe her, and her heart in particular, which is what she loves us with? The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, I recall to your minds the gospel that I preached to you, which also you received, wherein also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold fast, as I preached it to you, unless you have believed to no purpose. For I delivered to you, first of all, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and after that to the 11. Then he was seen by more than 500 brethren at one time, many of whom are with us still, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, as by one born out of due time, he was seen also by me. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace in me has not been fruitless. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass It's taken from the account according to St. Mark, chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. At that time, Jesus, departing from the district of Tyre, came by way of Sidon by the Sea of Galilee, to the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the district of Decapolis. And they brought to him one deaf and dumb, and entreated him to lay his hand upon him. And taking him aside from the crowd, he put his fingers into the man's ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be thou opened. And his ears were at once opened, and the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak correctly. And he charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, so much the more did they continue to publish it. And so much the more did they wonder, saying, He has done all things well. He has made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's important for all of us to do good to everyone. Acts of charity. It's very important to do them for the love of God. Then we receive a reward. It's not important that we be thanked by the people that we do good to. It's not important to us. It's very important for them to thank us. They owe it to us. Now, if we owe people a debt of gratitude for doing some insignificant favor for us, how much more do we owe our Lord and Savior for what He has done? Our act of gratitude should be without ceasing, right? How can we list everything He has done since He has cared for us from eternity? And He has cared for us every moment of our lives. Always be aware, brethren, by the grace of God, I am what I am. St. Paul is just saying what you and I should be saying. But even though He has given us everything, His continuing to give us what we need depends on us. Depends on our prayer, our devotion. Everything depends on that. What is devotion? Simply a desire to do good to God. It's a virtue. It's a gift from God. So not everybody has devotion, do they? How do we obtain devotion if we don't have it as we should? And who does? We obtain it by begging for it and by desiring it. So, how do you have a desire? By desiring it. By praying. Mental prayer, very important. spiritual reading. This is common sense. Maybe not very common, but it is common sense. If you want to do anything wonderful in life, don't you have to have a great desire to do it? Who's ever done anything wonderful without a great desire for it? And then what do you do? First, you study how to do it, right? And then you practice. Just study is not sufficient. You have to practice it. And then you can do it. So this is all of our lives teach us how to pray, how to have devotion. Great desire, learn, study. That's spiritual reading. Mental prayer is practice. And then we pray. We get down on our knees and we beg God to give it to us. So you see, prayer is essential. Because we have God's life in us. Sanctifying grace. Created share in God's life. And then also we have God himself in us. Blessed Trinity, remember? Indwelling of the Holy Ghost, which is same as indwelling of the Blessed Trinity. So we have to pray. We have this other life in us. Different life form. Now, for us to maintain our human life, let's say our body, we need oxygen, don't we? Pretty much constant. Can't stop breathing for very long. And so we are told that to maintain this other life form that we have in us, God's life, we need to pray more than we need to breathe. That's how constant must our prayer be. So you can see why our body is doing so much better than our soul, because we breathe more than we pray, don't we? Prayer is essential, brethren. The saints tell us that if we knew that there was on a particular day that God would hear all of our prayers, I think, how wonderful would that be? This one day, God's going to hear everything we say to him, and he's going to answer us. Well, this is beyond our wildest dreams, because he hears us every moment. He's constantly with us, isn't he? We don't have to wait for a day. He doesn't just hear our prayers and answer them. We all know how often our prayers are answered. Just the fact that we pray means that he has answered our prayer, because we can't do anything without his help, especially prayer. But also, he's constantly watching over us, loving us. One of the principal ways that he watches over us is by sending us trials and tribulations, right? This is how he teaches us. This is how he draws us to himself. He asks little sacrifices of each of us. Temptations. He sends us temptations to make us strong. He doesn't usually ask big favors of us, not until we have learned how to handle the small ones. One of the main reasons he doesn't send us opportunities for doing wonderful things for him is because those would make us proud, wouldn't they? How proud we are. Proud of the most ridiculous things. Without any reason whatsoever, since we have nothing to be proud of, absolutely nothing. People have praised us for our big veins. Now we're proud of our veins. Constantly teaching us. St. Peter was put in charge by our Lord and Savior, put in charge of everything. He's made first pope. Put in charge of the gate of heaven. No one goes into heaven except St. Peter lets them in. Almost immediately, St. Peter starts telling our Lord and Savior what to do. And so our Lord teaches him right away. He humbles him and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." This is right after he put him in charge of the whole world and heaven. Everybody that gets into heaven. So you see how he is constantly teaching us. Thank God, brethren, because we have such a great God, especially you and I. How much more has he given us than the rest of the world? There are approximately 7.5 billion people in the world. There are 1 billion Catholics. So we have 6.5 billion people who are lost. They don't know which way is up. And here we are with the faith. All this truth. All this wisdom that God has given us. We don't thank him very often, do we? Prayer is very important. We want to read to you what St. Bonaventure says about prayer. "If you would endure with patience the adversities and miseries of this life, be a man of prayer. If you would acquire strength and courage to vanquish the temptations of the enemy, be a man of prayer. If you would crush your self-will with all its inclinations and desires, be a man of prayer. If you would know the wiles of Satan and defend yourself against his snares, be a man of prayer. If you would live with a joyous heart and pass lightly along the road of penance and sacrifice, be a man of prayer. If you would drive away vain thoughts and cares which worry the soul like flies, be a man of prayer. If you would nourish the soul with the sap of devotion and have it always filled with good thoughts and desires, be a man of prayer. If you would strengthen and establish your heart in the ways of God, be a man of prayer. Finally, if you would uproot from your soul all vices and plant virtues in their place. Be a man of prayer. For herein does a man receive the unction and grace of the Holy Spirit, who teaches all things. He continues. Isn't that beautiful? I also want to read for you the collect for today's Mass, which we think is a beautiful prayer. Almighty and eternal God, who in the abundance of thy loving kindness art wont to give beyond the deserts and desires of those who humbly pray, pour down upon us thy mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and granting us those blessings which we dare not presume to ask. Isn't that beautiful? Dare not presume to ask. What's that? Make me a saint. How often do you pray for that? So you see, God has chosen us. It's not because of any virtue on our part, is it? It's not because we're so intelligent that we know everything so much more than the other billions of people. It's just because God has given us the grace that we needed. We can still be lost, though, can't we? If we don't pray. Very easy to be lost. Remember, brethren, that the pains in hell, the physical pains, the pains of sense, are nothing compared to the pain of loss. We can say that is infinitely beyond the pain of sense, which we know is great. Our Lord and Savior talks all about the fires of hell. But the pain of loss is far beyond that. To be for all eternity without love, but only hatred. And what is far, far worse than no love, believe it or not, that's bad enough. Far, far worse, we will never know God. Because in heaven, knowing God comes first. It's higher than love. Love comes after knowledge. And so the greatest pleasure in heaven is seeing God and knowing Him. And then is love. And so in hell, the greatest pain is not ever seeing God, ever. Now in today's gospel, we still have a little bit of time. In today's gospel, we see a perfect example of how much God watches over you and me. It's perfect. He comes back from being with those Gentiles, and they bring him a man who's deaf and dumb. So he takes him apart from the crowd. He works this miracle privately. Well, he worked miracles in front of innumerable crowds of people during his life. So clearly, He's doing what he does for you and me. He's teaching these people something. He's teaching them, and he's teaching everybody. Takes this man apart from the crowd. God only knows how many reasons he had to do this. But he's teaching us. First of all, to avoid vainglory. If you're going to do something wonderful, don't let everybody know you're doing it. Try to keep it private. To avoid pride. That's what he's teaching us. And he's, because of the fact that he's going to give this man this, the miracle of giving him his hearing and his speech, that's nothing. He performed innumerable miracles. What he was really doing was giving this man the faith. Faith comes from hearing, right? Isn't that scriptural? Faith, as from St. Paul, faith comes from hearing. So man couldn't hear, so our Lord and Savior is giving him the faith by giving him his hearing. Not that we can't believe without hearing, but that's what he's teaching us, is that he was giving this man faith. It's one of the things he's teaching us. And he's giving him speech so that he can spread the gospel, so he can say good things, use his gift of speech for good. Prayer. Before he does it, he sighs, or as another translation says, he groans. Teaching us. Did Christ need to sigh before he performed the miracle? He must be teaching us something, right? And he looked up to heaven. So he's praying. Because all good comes from God. That's why he looked up. Everything good comes from above. And he's groaning to teach us that our prayer must come from way down deep, our heart. Constantly teaching. And who is this man? You and me. Giving him the faith. Teaching the man also. It's teaching us. And he uses his fingers. Did he have to use his fingers when he put them into the man's ears? Well, how many miracles did he work from a distance? He didn't use his fingers. So he's teaching us something by using his fingers. He's showing us that how sacred is his human body. And the finger of God. That's the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Through the ears. Just the touch of God cures us. Holy Eucharist. How often do we receive the touch of God? And how sacred is his body? Just touching the man's ears. And the miracle is performed. And so sacred is his body that even his spittle is sacred. As soon as his spittle touches the man's tongue, he's healed. And he also teaches us about baptism. Because we receive the faith, everything. Everything good comes through baptism at the beginning, doesn't it? Points to the Eucharist, of course, but because we know that the baptism is for receiving Holy Communion. Baptism receives its strength from Christ and the Eucharist. All the sacraments depend on the Eucharist. And what else? The rest of the ceremony of the baptism is also sacred. How many graces do we receive from these extra little sacramentals? And what does the priest do in the sacrament of baptism? He uses his spittle. And he anoints, not the tongue. He doesn't touch his tongue. But he uses his spittle because the priest is Christ, isn't he? Receive our graces, all of our grace through the sacraments, through the priest. Tells us how holy the priest is and should be, because most of us priests are not holy as we should be, are we? Because all grace comes to all of us through the priest. And even the spittle of the priest, like that of God, gives us graces. And we also in baptism put as a substitute salt into the mouth, just the way our Lord and Savior put his spittle, symbol of wisdom, so that we can speak wisely and be given extra grace through all of these sacramentals. There's no end to what we learn. Lastly, the epistle. And by the way, this Mass is all tied together. We can't explain the whole thing to you. It's all tied together because we see here St. Paul speak to us all about the resurrection. Once again, he's giving all of these examples of while Christ appeared, he's proving the resurrection. Christ appeared to this one after he rose from the dead. And he mentions St. James. That's not in any of the Gospels. We hear that only here. In this epistle, that he had a special St. James, his cousin, first bishop of Jerusalem, the apostle. He was given a special apparition from Christ, a special visit after Christ rose from the dead, St. James. So he's trying to prove to these people, these Corinthians, once again, he's saying, you remember all that I taught you, and is reminding them of all of these apparitions of Christ risen from the dead. And we remind you of what the secular encyclopedia says about the resurrection of Christ. This is a secular encyclopedia that it would be difficult to deny the truth of the resurrection, given the fact that these 12 apostles gave their lives in defense of it. Who gives his life in defense of a lie? That's from the worldly point of view. They say, hard to deny that. And what's the point of this, brethren? Because, you see, we, you and I, have already risen from the dead, haven't we? Remember, in baptism, we died and we rose again. And this is why we are able to receive Holy Communion. Because we are part of Christ's body. Where is Christ? He's in heaven. We are part of Christ's body. We have risen. We're already in heaven. We live the life of heaven. That's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? Isn't that what the saints started doing by their life of prayer? Didn't they begin to experience the life of heaven? Isn't this what you and I do when we receive the Eucharist? So this is why the epistle and the gospel are tied together. resurrection, baptism. Because Christ, our Savior, was telling us all about baptism, knowing that he was pointing to it by this miracle of touching the man's tongue, because that's what the priests do before they baptize us. Don't forget to pray. It's very powerful. Now, we are out of time, but we have to give you an example of the power of prayer. In 1604, these two students went to a big party, and they went to a house of ill repute, spent some time there, and then one of them, Richard, left there and went home. And before he went to bed, in his drunken stupor, he remembered that he had a devotion of saying some Hail Marys, and so he said them. And then he went to sleep. And while he was asleep, his friend came to him in his sleep. And Richard said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "Don't you recognize me?" And Richard said, "You look like a demon." And he said, "That's because my soul is in hell. Because when I left the house of ill repute, someone murdered me. And the only thing that saved you was your Hail Marys." So you see, brethren, the importance of saying your prayers and never stopping. And God bless you.